Welcome to Hour 2 of Echolocation, the fledgling spring broadcast. I'm Elizabeth Lowe-Judas, thanking you for listening. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you may have noticed that over the past several broadcasts, I've featured content about how global warming is impacting the Earth's soundscapes, as well as the art and music that is being made in response to this crisis. And it's astounding how many artists of so many disciplines are addressing the climate crisis through their work. So the decision to feature climate change is a conscious choice that I've made to try to reinforce reality during this scary era of denial, which is happening just when we should be desperately acting to pull ourselves back from the brink. Because despite denial, the evidence of climate change is all around us, manifesting in many ways, from warming temperatures to the spread of invasive species to ocean acidification, sea level rise, and increases in extreme precipitation. Some of us have experienced the impacts of climate change firsthand, including Laurie Anderson, who is a prominent musician and multimedia artist whose New York City home was impacted by Superstorm Sandy in 2012. Anderson has released an album with the Kronos Quartet entitled Landfall that vividly conveys the experience of living through that superstorm. And right now we're listening to the first track on that album, which is called CNN Predicts a Monster Storm. You may be wondering how I can assert that Superstorm Sandy was the result of climate change. While I can't go as far as saying that global warming caused Superstorm Sandy, we can absolutely correlate a warming climate to an increase in the intensity and severity of hurricanes. Melting glaciers and thermal expansion are causing sea level rise, which can intensify storm surges and flooding from hurricanes. Melting glaciers mean more water instead of ice cover in the oceans, and thermal expansion refers to the greater volume of warm water versus cold water. Warm water actually takes up more space, encroaching upon our shorelines. Sea level rise is not a hypothetical situation or something that will occur in the future. It's happening now. Sea level in New York City and the Hudson Valley is a foot higher than it was a century ago. Beyond sea level rise, the atmosphere and the oceans are warming. As the ocean's surface warms, hurricanes become more intense. Warmer waters can actually impact wind speed during a hurricane. Another impact of warming waters is that more moisture is evaporated from the surface and sucked up into the hurricane and then deposited on land as heavy precipitation, exacerbating flooding. Hurricane strength and damage have increased over the past several decades and are projected to continue increasing in a warming world. Many of us in the WGXC listening area experienced the power of extreme precipitation during Tropical Storm Irene and Superstorm Sandy a few years ago. So we're going to spend most of this second hour of Echolocation listening to selections from Landfall. I've featured music inspired by climate change on previous shows, including John Luther Adams' Become Ocean, which focuses on sea level rise, and Cheryl E. Leonard's Chattermarks, which features audio recordings of melting glaciers. But Landfall is the first album that I'm aware of that interprets the human cost of intense storms, philosophically exploring the trauma and the wonder of living through a devastating weather event. So we're going to listen to a few more tracks now from Landfall. The Wind Whistles Through the Dark City, The Water Rises, and Our Street is a Black River.
Three, 5, 5, 0, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, October 2012. The river had been rising all day, and the hurricane was coming up slowly from the south. We watched as the sparkling black river crossed the park, and then the highway, and then came silently up our street. From above, Sandy was a huge swirl that looked like the galaxies, whose names I didn't know.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and streaming on wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we've been listening to selections from the album from Laurie Anderson and the Kronos Quartet entitled Landfall. That's my cat. My cat's here in the soundscape at my home in Hanacroy, New York. And I recently had the pleasure of visiting Laurie Anderson's exhibits at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts. One of the exhibits features huge renditions of the artwork that is also featured on the Landfall liner notes. And it's definitely worth the trip to Mass MoCA to see this exhibit, as well as Anderson's virtual reality installations, which are like mind-blowing, out of this world. So make the trip if you can swing it. We're going to dive back into Landfall and listen in as Anderson and the Kronos Quartet musically interpret the experience of living through Superstorm Sandy as it hit her neighborhood in New York City. And in the next 30 minutes or so, we'll listen to the following titles. The Electricity Goes Out and We Move to a Hotel. We Learn to Speak Yet Another Language. Dawn of the World. The wind lifted the boats and left them on the highway. It twisted street signs. Then it receded. The 19 stars of heaven. Nothing left but their names. And all the extinct animals. Thank you.
and I was in a Dutch karaoke bar, trying to sing a song in Korean. And I was just getting the hang of things when the software crashed, and the video background of sand dunes got all glitchy from the bad connection via the Indonesian version of Netflix. And for no reason at all, it would all come back up again.
Thank you.
And when you say lie, do you mean the kind of lie that Lincoln told when he was talking to the soldiers who were leaving for the front? About how they'd be just fine, and they'd be home by spring, walking and alive. Or do you mean some other kind of lie? Stars of heaven. Matched by what they stood for. Constancy. Gullibility. And sorrow.
Recently, I got a book listing all the animal species that have disappeared off the face of the earth, called All the Disappeared Animal Life Forms of the World. Now the list is really impressive, and it included the dates and territories where the animals were last seen, or wherever the last fossil was unearthed. Now, as you probably know, 99.9% of the species who have ever lived are now extinct. So this is a very long list, including massive numbers of civets, big subsets of spotted lizards, every last mastodon, the short-faced bear, the shrub ox, 15 chapters on sloth, and one whole chapter on a one-eared dinosaur. It was amazing. You cannot imagine how many kinds of weasels have come and gone. Now the publishers claim that the book is a definitive masterpiece. In fact, according to them, the book actually weighs approximately 30 weasels. And so, goodbye to the disappeared ones. There they go, hopping and jumping away, swimming and floating away, gone forever, vaporized as if they'd never existed, except for a few bones and footprints, nothing left, but their name. A mental letter. So, to say olive, you open your mouth and you think of the letter and you start to say it and then you stop. And that is olive. Now that's the thing with words. They leave so much to the imagination. Like in yoga class, when a teacher is saying things like, "Now imagine your breath is filling the entire room." Or imagine that your legs are planted on the ground and they keep going down and down and down on the ground like roots. Like 15 feet down, and you know you can actually feel that. And really, they could just go on and on in this pain. Like, now imagine that you've swallowed your head and it's inside your stomach and you're upside down and you can't open your eyes and you're completely stuck in there. You know, things like. Say that often it's much better to talk about things than to actually do them. Take, for example, a very long expedition to the North Pole. Turn them out. like acquaintances I had always meant to befriend. Yes, I meant to learn their names. But for various reasons, having to do with lack of time and lack of ambition, I never did. Up in the sky, as nameless as if we'd never been here at all.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and streaming on wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, and we've been listening to selections from the new album by Laurie Anderson and the Kronos Quartet entitled Landfall. And we're going to pause for a few minutes to feature a new segment that I'm calling Climate Roulette, where we examine the impacts of climate change on natural soundscapes and the creatures that populate those soundscapes with their unique voices. And for this fledgling edition of Climate Roulette, we're going to focus on the narwhal, that shy unicorn of the sea, which we featured on the Echolocator profile during the first hour of the show. ¶¶ Narwhals live in the Arctic and are very skilled in the use of sonar for navigation and hunting, which allows them to spend the winter in the cold darkness beneath the ice in Baffin Bay. And although narwhals have been around for thousands of years and have adapted to pretty extreme climate fluctuations in the past, science writer Todd McLeish warns that they could become victims of climate change. In his book, Narwhals, the Arctic Whales in a Melting World, which was published in 2013, McLeish points out that the narwhal's diet, which is dependent on only a few different types of fish and its very specific habitat preferences, along with the small geographic area where it lives, may make survival difficult in a changing climate. A warming climate is leading to changes in the ice pack on Baffin Bay, where 80% of narwhals spend the winter months. And even though they live beneath the ice in the winter, they breathe air and depend on cracks and holes in the sea ice to gain access to the atmosphere to breathe. And even though they're endurance swimmers, they swim slowly, so they need fairly regular access to cracks in the ice in order to not suffocate. And changes in the Baffin Bay ice pack include melting overall, but also the mobilization of larger glacial ice that does not provide the same habitat as seasonal ice. And sometimes large numbers of narwhals will suffocate beneath the sea ice because they can't find a place to breathe. Warmer waters could also lead to a higher number of killer whales, which are the major predator of narwhals. And finally, melting ice will open waters to commercial fishing as well as oil exploration, and increases in shipping traffic cause underwater noise pollution, which may affect narwhals' use of echolocation. So will the narwhals survive this climate roulette? Only time will tell. Thanks for listening to Echolocation. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, letting you know that you can visit the Echolocation Facebook page at facebook.com/echolocationwgxc for a complete list of references from today's show, Fledgling Spring. There you'll find details about an event coming up on April 25th, International Noise Awareness Day, that you can participate in. And please don't forget that WGXC is a community radio station that runs on listener donations. Visit wavefarm.org to make your contribution to Creative Community Radio. We're going to close out the Fledgling Spring broadcast with a few more selections from Landfall, the new album from artist Laurie Anderson and the Kronos Quartet that was inspired by Superstorm Sandy, which hit the east coast of the U.S. in October of 2012. We just listened to Riding Bicycles Through the Muddy Streets, and we'll hear Helicopters Hang Over Downtown, We Head Out, Everything is Floating, Gongs and Bells Sing, and Old Motors and Helicopters. Thanks for tuning in.
And after the storm, I went down to the basement. And everything was floating. Lots of my old keyboards, 30 projectors, props from old performances, a fiberglass plane, a motorcycle, countless papers, and books. And I looked at them floating there in the shiny dark water, dissolving. All the things I'd carefully saved all my life, becoming nothing but junk. And I thought, how beautiful, how magic, and how catastrophic.
Thank you.